Welcome to Paint Radio with your hosts, Andrew Dwyer and Kevin Hoffman.
Heck yeah, let's do a podcast, our favorite thing, Paint Radio, the APC podcast. I'm Andrew Dwyer, publisher of APC. We've got Kevin Hoffman, editor-in-chief of APC. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Andrew. How you doing?
Doing great. I always talk about how one of my favorite things is when a manufacturer comes and says, man, we want to spend more time with APC and painting contractors. We love what you do. We want to sponsor an entire podcast. That's how committed we are. And that's what 3M has done. That won't surprise anybody. 3M is one of the most committed manufacturers when it comes to contractors and the products that they use. And of course, with 3M, they have such a broad product line that it's difficult not to do a two-hour 3M podcast, but we are not going to do a two-hour podcast, but we are going to do a fun and interesting podcast. So talking about lots of different things, tapes, talking about safety and respirators, talking about wall repair and abrasives, and we've got the right people for that job today. We have Manuel Diaz de Leon, an application engineer at 3M. Manuel, thanks for being on the podcast.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
And I should say thanks for being back, because you've been here before, as have all of these wonderful 3M application engineers, such as Jason Lund. Jason, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
And Kitty Long, application engineer. Kitty, welcome back. How are you?
Very good. Thanks, Andrew.
What's been one of your favorite experiences at 3M, or what's something that you've accomplished, something that you helped produce, something you helped create, bring to market, whether it's a product or a resource? What's just something that you've really been proud of during your time at 3M?
I would say, like, at 3M, we're very collaborative. Like, we work with, even though we're like consumer business right now, in this, we work with other divisions. We share what we find out in the field. We share what we find out in the lab. So, like, a lot of the things is, like, we find what's the pain point of our customers. We kind of discuss it internally, and then we try to make a product out of it.
Yeah, I'd say one of the things I'm most proud of is when I talk to end users and they experience a product sometimes for the first time. And you can see on their face, like, damn, this is good. Like, this is really making my work easier. This is really giving me a pro-like result. So that part, it makes me feel that everything that we do is worth it.
We've got lots of things to talk to you about today. Like I said, we're talking about tapes and abrasives and safety and respirators. So with that, Kevin, you're the editor-in-chief. You know this stuff a lot better than I do. Let me turn it over to you so you can get us started.
So, Katie, pro painters obviously know the difference between high-quality and low-quality tape. What can you tell us about kind of the engineering difference between those? What leads to some tapes having better adhesion?
So tapes are, I would say, very unique. Each has its own features, especially for 3M tape. We try to tailor each tape to its application categories. So, like, we're really thinking about, like, what's the right tape for the right job. We want to understand even, like, the surface, the environment, either it's like inside, outside, and how long the tape will be on. So, like, for example, some of our tapes have acrylic adhesive on, some have rubber. And then each of them has its own features. And then the backing itself of our tapes, some of them are different than the others. So one of the most used tape for our Scotch Blue category is our Scotch Blue Original. So this one is our crepe paper tape with acrylic adhesive. And then tape is also like a huge part of the preparation. So, like, the overall goal for us is actually to give the best results. So, like, we want to protect the surfaces that you don't want the paint on, ultimately, basically, providing the best results when you tape the tape off.
I see. So 3M has, yes, everyone's familiar with blue tape. it can do a lot. But then you also have 3M has so many, I guess you'd call them specialty tape or specific use tapes, and you've got a sharp lines tape, and you also have a rough surfaces tape. What explain to us how those are similar and different, right? How do those deliver sharp lines but also handle rough surfaces?
Great question. So this one right here, we have our Scotch Blue Sharp Lines multi-surface painter's tape. So one of the main difference, I would say, is the adhesive itself in the formulation. So our Scotch Blue painter's tape is made with acrylic adhesive, whereas our Scotch rough surface painter's tape is made is a rubber base. So like our Scotch Blue Sharp Lines painter's tape features like a medium adhesive and our 3M Edge Lock technology that seals out paint to deliver sharp paint lines. So I would say whether you're protecting, like, let's say wood trim, painted walls, tile floor, or even like glass window, it's a very multi-surface tape, very versatile. So you can leave it on for up to 21 days and it will remove fairly easily, leaving no residue behind. Our Scotch, this one, I'll just show it again, our Scotch rough surface painter's tape. This one has a very strong adhesive to it. So it's actually designed for rough and non-damageable surface. So you can use it on brick, concrete, stucco, or even like rough wood. And then it is, this tape is, can be put on actually for up to 5-day interior and 3-day exterior.
How about, job site protection? A lot of painters are putting up plastic to mask off the rooms that are not being painted. What's your advice on there? What tape is best used for masking off a room, putting up plastic?
So there is like a combination of those. So like we first probably would look at like the surfaces that you're masking. So if you're like masking some drywall or anything, we do have also at 3M some of the plastic. So I can show you, I don't know if that shows it clear. So we have a few of them that I can show right here. We have first our masking plastic. That one would be just an alternative to our papers. So then we have our contractor film, so our sepia films, and then our masking film, this one, the advanced masking film. So like a lot of the products can be used with the aid of basically hand maskers. So like we attach the tape to it, the film, and then we can use all of that in one continuous application. I would say that if, let's say you have a rough surface, like either brick or concrete, anything fairly rough, you'll still go with our rough surface painter's tape. So the one that we showed earlier in our green tape right here. But depending on the surface that you're using in combination of the films, you can do a great job of like masking a larger surface.
And Kitty, I have to ask, if you, I'm guessing that you sometimes attend trade shows. So when you talk to a contractor who maybe had just used a hand masker for the first time, what is their response? What is their like, wow, you know, I'd never used this, but it was so quick. It was easier than I thought. What do you hear from contractors who recently had their first experience with the hand masker?
Yeah. A lot of them, I would say that they didn't know about it, or like it's the first time they know about it. So like they loved it. The fact that like, we tried it in the lab and everything, it actually is 4 times faster than the paper and poly method. So basically you can have, I'll show it again, the tape itself, the film, and here it's actually a very sharp blade. So you can use our 3M Handmasker M3000. It handles basically the tape and the film in one continuous outflow. And you can basically fit in all sizes of film or paper up to 12 inches. So including our AMF film, our MPL film, and our CP film. So it's a great tool that we have out there to help out our contractor or pro contractors and anyone who wants to use a hand masker.
With painting contractors, what are the two or three workhorses? What types of respirators do you think painters use the most?
So probably the most they're going to be using, if you're going to be spray painting, is going to be a reusable respirator with cartridges and a filter on it. I'll go over this a little bit because I know some of our end users, these can be complicated and they still might not know how they actually work. So I'm going to show everyone how it works today so you can walk away with a new knowledge. I guarantee
let's nerd out on respirators. I love it, Jason. Let's go.
All right. So when you're spray painting, there's going to be a couple different contaminants in the air. One thing that's coming off the spray paint from the paint is VOCs or organic vapors. There's lots of other things in there as well. But then the aerosolized mist in the air as well. Now, the aerosolized mist can be considered a particulate, a particle, and then the organic vapors is kind of like a gas or vapor that's in the air. These cartridges are a two-part system. So I'll take this apart here. This right here is a carbon cartridge that can help filter out organic vapors in the air. This is not that great for particulates. It's not designed for that. So don't use this if you're going to be sanding drywall or something like that. You will need a particulate filter, which is this here. Okay. And this, if anybody's ever heard of an N95, I'll go over that in a little bit, but this is a P95. So it's a two-part system. This can take out those aerosolized mist floating in the air. You put this on here like this. As you breathe in, inhale through this, this takes out any of the, at least 95% of particulates in the air, and then this will take out those organic vapors. So this is going to be the nice combination for any of those painters using kind of an aerosolized spray paint. Now, if you are just doing, you know, let's say you're prepping ahead of time, you're sanding that drywall down, then a disposable respirator like this is good for that. And this is just good for particulates, so particles floating in the air. If you are using an aerosolized mist that's like a water-based paint, though there's not as much VOCs or organic vapors in there, so this may, you may be able to get away with this as well. But remember, this is not good for those smells in the air.
Jason, I think a lot of people maybe get a little confused in terms of what a respirator is. Was that an N95 that you were holding up there?
Yep.
So that would be considered a respirator. So maybe, you know, just, you know, back to square one, you know, what constitutes a respirator? And you know, which, you know, why would you want to use more of that heavy duty one you showed earlier versus that N95 mask that we're also familiar with?
Yep. So one thing to remember is that we try to call both of these things respirators. I know some people call these masks and some of these respirators, but they are both NIOSH approved and they should be called respirators. A mask is the way we look at it is something that does not provide a good seal around the face. Usually if you see those ear loop, you know, cloth masks, those are not NIOSH approved. You shouldn't be using that for dust and debris or on a job site. So anything that's a respirator, another big thing to take away from this is remember the seal to the face of a respirator is one of the biggest things you need to be aware of. One of the most important factors when it comes to respirators, be it this or this, because if you are not getting a good seal around that face, air is going to come in around the edges there and bypass the filters that are on here. Now, when it comes to which one to use for what application, it's going to be, well, like I said, for dust and debris, this is all it's good for. If you're going to be encountering organic vapors or acid gases, this is not going to be it. However, what's nice about the reusable respirators for 3M is that our cartridges and filters can be swapped out. So you can take this off and put on a particulate filter like this and use this for any type of dust and debris in the air as well. So it's going to come down to preference. You know, if you're going to be using these a lot, then a reusable respirator might make more economic sense. By purchasing this ahead of time, you can swap out the cartridges and filters when they get used up. Or if you're just going to be you know, sand and drywall a lot. And then these are lighter weight, and some people find it more comfortable because of that lightweightness. And you can just toss these and replace these as needed. So it's just going to come down to what is going to be your preference.
Yeah,
and just report that the hazard as well. I got to make sure, remember to say that.
Of course. Just a quick follow up. So those, you showed how those filters are interchangeable. So I guess, which is incredibly cool. So I guess I had two questions. One is, what are the different kinds of filters that are available for that? And then how do you know when to change them, and how often should you be changing those filters out?
Mm-hmm. So you have to look at the labels on the packaging or around the cartridges themselves, and then it will tell you what these things are good for. This one says, if I can even show it, probably can't see it, but it says organic vapors at the top there. We do have other ones that have a, you know, this one has a yellow band around it. There's a lot more information on here, but it says OV for organic vapors, and there's other things on here. This is good for acid gases as well. So make sure to look at the packaging or around the label of the cartridge to see what it's good for, because all cartridges are not designed, are not equal. So you have to find the cartridge for your hazard. Then for particulate filters, that's going to come down to what kind of particles are floating in the air as well. P100, people have heard of that. This one here, if you see pink or magenta, you're looking at P100 particulate filter. And that's the highest efficiency you can get based on the NIOSH rating scale. So that's not a 3M stand. That's not something that 3M came up with. It's a standard in the industry. And same with the colors around the labels. It's an industry standard, not 3M. So make sure you're doing your due diligence and look for what these things are designed to help filter out or help protect you against. Now, when it comes to figuring out when to replace them, this is where it gets, you know, for any particulate filter, well, it's a little bit easier than the cartridges. And what we say for any particulate filter, remember, this is a particulate filter, this is a particulate filter, this is a particulate filter. Anytime you see those letters and numbers, N95, P100, P95, N99, anything like that, it's a particulate filter. Easy way to remember, go by the three Ds. If it's dirty, damaged, or difficult to breathe through. Okay, I'll go through it again. Dirty, damaged, or difficult to breathe through. If this gets caked in dust and debris, you know, go ahead and throw it out. If it becomes damaged, if the strap breaks or something like that, or there's a hole in it, go ahead and throw it out. If it's difficult to breathe through, then you can go ahead and throw it out. There's really no time limit. There is if you're dealing with oil-based particulates and you're with an R or P, there's some time limits on that. Check the manufacturer instructions on that. I won't go into that right now. But so for something like this, if this becomes difficult to breathe through, because this gets clogged up, you can actually throw that out, put a new one on here. Now, when it comes to the cartridges themselves, this is where it gets a little bit more difficult. I know some people wait until they can smell or taste something that shows that the carbon in here has been adsorbed all of the chemicals that it can and it's used up. Don't wait until then. You really should go off of a change schedule, because once you smell or taste something, it's too late. And that's going to be more in depth. You need to find out what you're being exposed to, the concentration levels, and what cartridge you're using and things like that. 3M is a nice calculator for that. 3M.com/SLS for service life. Of course, no, I can't remember what the acronym is, but 3M.com/SLS. And this will, then you put in your information and it'll tell you the time limit to go off of. So make sure you do due diligence for these, because you have to use a change schedule.
Wearing a respirator until you can taste the chemical. Yes, that sounds like a terrible rule of thumb. If people learn nothing else from this podcast, they should learn not to do that. And Jason, I've told the story before on the podcast, but I'm going to tell it again. I started working at APC in 1994. And the editor then had a photo on his desk, and he said it was his favorite photo. I don't know how old it was, but it certainly was probably 70s or earlier, of a painter wearing a face mask with a hole in it so he could smoke a cigarette.
I've heard that as well.
That is crazy. I wish I had that photo, man.
Yeah, so that would be under damage. The second D of dirty damage or difficult to breathe, you should probably throw that out and not use that.
Oh, it's the greatest photo ever. You know, fit testing, proper fit, you've already mentioned it. Obviously so important. Beards have become so popular, huge beards. To what extent does a beard affect the fit of a respirator?
That is one of the biggest questions that we get from people, because like you said, beards become even more prevalent. And people, they don't want to shave their beard. So they say, can I wear a respirator with this beard? And the answer is no, you can't. there's no two ways about it. Even a 5 o'clock shadow you can't have, because like I said, one of the biggest, most important factors is that seal. And even a 5 o'clock shadow can interfere the seal around the face. And these particles that you can encounter are sometimes so small the eye can't see, and it can get around underneath the edges if you have some facial hair interfering with that seal. Now, there is a nice chart out there that CDC put out there that can show what type of facial hair you can have. And basically, if it can fit inside the seal, then you can go with it. You know, if you have a goatee or a mustache, there's not too many out there that will be able to fit inside the seal, but you can get away with that. But for the most part, beards, anything, any type of scruff, absolutely not.
Manuel, that sounds like you may need to do a little trim there if you're going to be wearing a respirator.
Yeah, funny story. Over a month ago, I was working on a project with some of our products. I had to wear a respirator and I had to shave. And Jason saw me, I had to shave, and I did. And it's regrowing, but that's something we take very seriously.
I'm glad Kevin, I asked.
Kevin Manuel actually shaved 2 days ago, and he's already grown that back.
So, you know, as we're talking about, replacing holes, patching holes, I recently had this come up. I unfortunately had a leak in my ceiling, and then it kind of revealed that the previous homeowner had the same leak and had not properly patched it. Definitely did some work on the roof to get it back into shape, but I found myself, you know, using 3M products actually to work on it. What are you able to use the wall compound on ceilings, or is there, what would you suggest in that situation for a hole in the ceiling? How would you go about fixing that?
Okay, so a hole in the ceiling, having a leak during rainy season, is a little bit more complex than just filling it in. But for regular damage, like a dent, a corner, a screw hole in the ceiling, and when you just take down some lighting and stuff like that, for regular, I'm going to say standard holes and repairs, you can use wall repair compound, but not all products there are. So particular, we in 3M have the large hole repair compound, and that has fibers, cellulose fibers that will entangle with the gypsum and the other components on the repair compound and will provide more strength. And you can use that to repair relatively small holes, maybe less than 3 inches on the ceiling, and it will not sag, it will not crack, it will not fall down. It's just a kind of a evidence of what material science we put in our products, and that's one of those.
Manuel, I think, you know, we talked earlier with Kitty talking about the difference between, you know, low-cost tape and higher quality tape, and I think most people understand that, but maybe it's less obvious when it comes to compound, wall compound. Maybe from a chemistry standpoint, what is the difference? Why does a higher quality compound work better than a lower quality one?
Okay, so that is a great question. So I come from Mexico, and back there we rely a lot in gypsum. So mixing gypsum with water, I'll say, is the simplest and more readily available compound to patch holes and cracks. But if you have ever used gypsum mixed with water, it's very time constrained. You need to mix it in the exact amount, and you're mixing, and then apply, and it honestly requires a lot of practice, and it has a lot of restraints around. So we have come a really long way from just mixing digital movie water to what we have offering now as water repair compound. So 3M water repair compound contains advanced 3M materials, not only like stabilizers and emulsifiers, but also one of the things that makes it really different than the rest is this micro glass bead bubbles. So 3M developed that, believe it or not, to drill for oil in the ground. So those things really can withstand pressure, and they're really resistant and amazingly lightweight. So including microglass beads, microglass bubbles into our wall repair compounds allows them these particular features that are not sagging, not cracking, and fast drying, among the other components that we put in. So then users can have a really advanced solution against just mixing gypsum with water and many other products that are out there.
Man, well, let's talk about abrasives. Definitely a specialty of 3M. They're a pioneer in creating a lot of these abrasives. But it can be overwhelming when you look at all the different kinds of sandpaper and sanding blocks that you guys produce with different grits and different purposes. What would you say is the best one to use for drywall? And is there any others that you'd recommend for different purposes, such as sanding a deck?
Okay, that's also a great question, Kevin. So as you already know, 3M comes from abrasives. So that's the very purpose of 3M existing. And we have been sort of leading the field for many years now for many applications. Abrasives usually has a general construction, that is, you have a kind of a backing that can be a paper or cloth or something else, and there will be an adhesive or some sort of resin right on top, and then you will sprinkle, per se, the abrasive particles that are just mineral or ceramic or some other compound that is really hard. That's why we call it abrasive. And then you can have one or two additional coatings on top. So each one of those parts has an impact on the performance of the abrasive. For 3M, we have developed particularly product portfolio for drywall that is meant to be used particularly in drywall. It is green color, that minty color. You have available a couple of sanding sheets and a couple of sanding sponges with different grids. So those might look alike many other sanding sheets and many other sanding sponges, but they're different. And the main difference is that the top coating, the one that goes like really on top of it, it provides a property that is called anti-clog. So when you use these particular abrasives to sand drywall, and anyone that has sanded drywall in the past will rely on the fact that dust comes like crazy. So you will use sanding sponge, sanding sheet for seconds. Sometimes it will clog almost immediately. Then you will have to, you know, dust it off or wash it or something, change to a different abrasive and start sanding. And eventually you'll start using the one that you used in the past. So it's sort of a cycle. But using a specialized drywall abrasives, that's the one we have at 3M, will allow you to swap or change that business less frequently and allow you to advance faster while sanding surface. So this top coat and its anti-clogging properties are specifically designed to that application. So that's one of the things that we do. As I said, in 3M, we put science into all products meant for particular applications, and that's another evidence of that.
Yeah, science, I mean, applied to life. That's the 3M motto.
Yeah, you know it, Kevin.
And there's so many products. Obviously, 3M alone has so many products. There's so many products in the market. It's always fascinating to me how contractors effectively train their painters to say, look, you can't just have a go-to product that you use in all applications, because there's just things have advanced too far, and you've got to use the right tool for the job. Manuel, when you talk to contractors at trade shows, where would you rate the average contractor's awareness of the products that exist out there? Would you give them a B? Would you give them an A? Is it a D? What grade would you give the average contractor as far as knowing what resources, what tools, what products are available to them?
I'll say I can't restrict it to only one grade. I think it's a spectrum out there. There will be contractors that are really knowledgeable of the product at work for what they do usually, and some others that will be starting on the profession and you're exploring what's there. Most of the times, contractors or professional painters will use the product that the one that they learn from taught them to use. So if I start working as an apprentice for a contractor that used to work with aluminum oxide abrasives, that's the one we have, like Corlan, yellow and green, I'll start like using that when I become a professional. But during my experience as an independent professional, I will discover what products work best for me. And I think that part of the process is what makes this sort of an spectrum of awareness on the product that there are and the application they can cover with those products. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes we don't know what's out there. It's a part of our responsibility as a company to let you know what we have to offer at one hand, and the other, try experimenting new products, try experimenting in high-tier specialized products, because most of the times, at least if those are 3M, of course, they will have a specific feature that will help you get more professional result and work faster.
Yeah, so this is why we all need to listen to podcasts and read magazines and attend trade shows, because there's a lot of unknown unknowns out there. You got to keep lifelong learning, continuous improvement. What about spackle? What should people know about spackle? That, you know, all spackle isn't the same. All surfaces and needs and applications are not the same. What's the state of spackle today, Manuel?
I'll say, as I said a few minutes ago, our waterproof compound, our spackle, is top of the line. So it's divided between the small hole repair, big hole repair, the frontier being 3-inch wide, below 3-inch small, above 3-inch large hole repair. Adding up the microglass beads, adding up the fibers that will provide more structure and more resistance to the product. All of those are amazing innovations brought in by 3M, but I'm going to say that the one that still marks both me is the color changing compound. So having this product that no matter if you are a professional or you are a DIYer, having this extra aid of knowing when the product is ready to stand, it's already dried. I mean, who will let down extra help? Like nobody. So I mean, that put in also in some of our products is, I would say, stuff that is top of the line and makes us a really innovative company that is bringing more and more specialized solutions to contractors and painters.
Yeah, I mean, 3M has so many different solutions and so many different products. I think it would be easy for some people, some contractors, to not even know some of the wonderful solutions that you have out there. So I want to ask each of you, we like to do this on the podcast, we'll start with you, Katie. What is a product that you think people are kind of sleeping on that they really may not know about, but that you think deserves a second look?
A lot of the times I would say, like, in terms of tapes itself, like we just went to one of the shows earlier this year, and a lot of people don't know about our delicate surface tape. That's the tape that can be used on, I would say, freshly painted surface, but also like wood floor and also kitchen cabinet. So the color of it, it's purple. It's a purple tape. So that's a tape that I would say has great features for any paint applications that needs either a freshly painted surface or like that they're working on delicate surfaces.
How about you, Jason, from the world of safety? Is there any products that you think people should know more about?
Absolutely. So we were talking about reusable respirators, and a lot of our painters wear reusable respirators, but 3M has a product here called the Quick Latch that has a feature that nobody else has out there. It's this latch here. So we all know if you're wearing a reusable respirator on a job site for a while, it gets kind of cumbersome when you want to take it off to take a break or talk to somebody. Let me just show you guys how this works. Okay, so first of all, if people take a break, they may take this off, but sometimes you got safety glasses and other things on. This quick latch allows it to drop down without having to undo or mess around with any straps. And I'll show you quickly how this works. Latch is here, flip that and thing drops down out of the way. You can talk to somebody, take a quick drink, and then even one-handed, cinch it back up. Like that. Quick and easy. And once pros get used to this, it's such a convenient way to wear a respirator and take a break and talk to somebody outside of the contaminated area when you need to. So, yeah, quick latch.
Very slick. I love it. Last one, Manuel, from the world of abrasives. Is there any product that people may not know enough about that you think they should be paying more attention to?
Okay, so for the world of abrasives, I'd say a Progrid Precision product line, especially sanding sheets. I mean, those are amazing. You can absolutely tell the difference when you're working with one of those and some other brands, or even our own portfolio of regular abrasives. Sanding with Progrid Precision, other than it has a higher power for cuts, other than it has the non-slip grip on the back end that allows you to have a more ergonomical grab for the abrasive and it effortless and more comfortable to go through the surface. I think the most unknown feature about them is that you can sand wet or dry with them. So that's something that most people don't know, and it's meant for the product to cover as much possible application as possible.
Do any of you, the three of you, Kitty, Jason, Manuel, do you have any stories about driving down the road? You see somebody doing, you know, using something less than best practice, and you resist the urge to keep your mouth shut, and you're like, you know what? I need to help here. And you've offered some advice. Any good stories you want to share with the people?
I've seen it a lot, especially for respirators. You know, I see somebody using some kind of power tool or breaking up concrete, and you got the dust in the air, and there's no respirator usage like that, or spray painting. And I'm not gonna lie, I have stopped and said, you know what, you know, for something like that, you might want to help protect your lungs with a respirator. But so yeah, we do see it out there, unfortunately. That's one of the reasons why, as application engineers, we're trying to get that education out there. It's one of our roles, is talking to the end users, creating videos, creating things to get out there so people learn how to use the products correctly and which ones to use properly.
Do you have a 3M badge? You can open the jacket and show them your 3M badge.
No,
that would be awesome. So, again, you've got 3M has such a wealth of product. Kitty, if people are looking to learn more about tapes, do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, definitely. We have our scotchblue.com website. Great website to kind of find out a little bit of the literature, which tape should you use, or some of the Q&A section right in there. Could be helpful. So great website to check out, scotchblue.com.
Awesome. Jason, how about on the safety side?
Yeah. Speaking of videos, we just completed 8 new videos for respirators in general. We also have some other videos. They're on a channel on YouTube. So if anybody goes to YouTube, just look up 3M Pro Contractor. Okay, I'll say it again, 3M Pro Contractor on YouTube, and you'll find our channel on there. I think there's about 30 videos, and the first 8 are about respirators. So anyone on here, you watch those. They're short, 2 to 5 minutes each. You will learn something from them.
Excellent. Manuel, what about on the abrasives and wall repair side?
You know, sometimes I feel abrasives and wall repair are sort of overlooked. But many of our wall repair solutions are available for everyone to see at YouTube. You just log in youtube.com, write down frame wall repair, and you will see kits, all-in-one tool, large wall repair, small wall repair, everything we have, it will be over there for everyone to see.
Well, this is why APC exists, that anybody can start a painting business, but man, not anybody can really be satisfied and run a quality business. You got to lean into it. There's resources out there. APC is one of those resources, but we also connect people with great companies and great people like 3M. So Kitty Long, Jason Lund, Manuel Diaz de Leon, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and we love getting to know and taking a peek inside the brains of some application engineers at 3M. Thanks for your time.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And this is also a reminder to anybody watching and listening out there that, man, if you don't attend trade shows or pro shows, you really should. If you think, oh, no, they're just trying to sell me. First of all, sales run the world. You own a painting business. You know you need sales. But you don't just sell by selling the sizzle. You sell by selling the steak. And so you talk to these, whether it's a sales rep or an application engineer at the 3M booth or any other manufacturer exhibitor's booth, you are going to learn so much more than you knew before. And knowledge is power, man. So get out there, attend those shows, talk to people, listen to podcasts, go to paintmag.com, subscribe to APC. Great resources to have even more fun running your painting business. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to Paint Radio. We'll see you next time.